Brian Kokar, welcome to KABU.
Thank you, Bill. Always great to be here.
Yes, Brian Kokar is an author of The Green Alternative, Earth for Sale. His most recent book is Toward Climate Justice. In addition to his writing and lots of activism and organizing, Brian Kokar has been on the board of the Institute for Social Ecology that promotes the radical democratization of U.S. cities and, in fact, the whole country. Brian, you wrote in a ISE, Institute for Social Ecology blog, a brief piece. It's on, and I quote you here, "An emerging municipal uprising in several U.S. cities, actually quite a number, mirroring developments in Europe, that in response to the failure of statist politics and anticipating increasing attacks on basic human rights by the new U.S. administration." Brian, tell us about that municipal uprising, some particulars.
Well, as people know, in response to the, at this point, more than daily outrages coming out of Washington, people have been looking for new ways to organize. And in many cities around the country, some of the best covered have been in Seattle and New York, but also several places in the Deep South. People have gone back to what's really a long-standing tradition of popular assemblies in response to various political outrages. And there's a long history of people organizing in that way. Of course, currents from the French Revolution all the way up through movements of the 60s, and more recently, circumstances like the popular response to the severe economic crisis that hit Argentina, documented in some of Naomi Klein and also Marina Citrin's work, kind of rekindling interest in assembly-based democracy. Here in New England, of course, it goes back to the tradition of town meetings, which started during the colonial period, started really as very conservative institutions, but in the period leading up to the American Revolution, as documented in some of Murray Bookchin's research and his historical work called The Third Revolution, New England town meetings became increasingly open and participatory and radical and forward-looking in their agendas. And that's a tradition that has thrived to the present day here in this part of the country, but also in many cities, people organizing on a citywide scale or in many places, as in Seattle, by neighborhood, really trying to take the power back from institutions that have consistently proven to be unaccountable to the needs of the people.
Yeah, and let me add to the list, actually. It's quite enormous when you look at the whole United States and, of course, Europe, especially in this austerity period in Spain and Portugal and Greece and now Italy and across Europe, actually, city governments and the popular assemblies pushing them, that is, popular movements and assemblies pushing them, as in Germany, around energy. There's a tremendous amount of autonomous action now in cities. Brian, why don't you tell us about, in fact, Burlington, your experience? I'm sure that almost nobody knows. In fact, you've been in Burlington, around Burlington, living in Vermont for many, many years, even predating Bernie Sanders' mayoralty.
Right.
But you watched him very carefully and worked with him some, that is the ISE and movements, and also opposed him some and forced him into doing things that he didn't want to do at the beginning. Why don't you tell us that story?
Well, in terms of the development of more democratic institutions at the city level, that's something that very much wasn't on Bernie's agenda when he first got elected mayor back in 1981. But people in his community development office developed a plan for creating kind of temporary neighborhood meetings, basically to administer federal community development block grant funds. And when that opportunity arose, a number of us, informed by the ideas of social ecology and the confederal municipalism that Murray Bookchin put forward from a theoretical and strategic perspective, and we can get a little bit more into that, you know, we started saying these should be permanent institutions. They should be governing bodies for the neighborhoods. City council members should be accountable to people through their neighborhood assemblies. And while we didn't quite accomplish those structural changes, the neighborhood assemblies in Burlington continue to this day and have been important centers of resistance to all sorts of outrageous projects by the city's elites. Burlington has actually got a mayor now who's a Democrat and a major real estate developer, and a lot of the resistance to that agenda is coming from neighborhood assemblies. But even back in the 80s, when Bernie was mayor, he was allied with developers on a number of issues, including waterfront development, which some articles during the presidential primary campaign gave Bernie credit for saving the Burlington waterfront. In fact, the people I give credit to for saving the Burlington waterfront were green activists and others in town who in many cases had to say no and organize resistance through neighborhood meetings to various development projects that Bernie actually supported.
Yeah, Brian, we're going to continue. I would like to continue the interview, this conversation right now, but necessity requires us to attend to the survival, that is the continued operation of this independent, non-commercial, small-d democratic radio station. It's the breath of life here in Portland.
Absolutely.
It is, as we say, it pierces the corporate veil, keeps hope for democracy and sustainable alive. Who's at Membership Central? Will, are you there too?
Will is here.
Why don't you tell us about how people can, in fact, support KBOO, volunteer here, work here, come see us, come meet us, become part of the KBOO family, and certainly support us financially so that we're on the air.
Well, that's right, Bill. Where else can you find this? I hate to use the cliche right off the bat, but where else can you find this? So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266.
877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm, the donate button.
And you can also donate online by looking us up at kboo.fm. But also, one way I recommend is come down to KBOO. Come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Hey, thank you, folks. We're back to content on KBOO Radio, our wonderful radio stations. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole. I've been talking to Brian Tokar. We're going to continue the interview. Brian, you're there. We talked earlier, we gave a lot of examples of this uprising that you wrote briefly about, but it's happening all over the world, and especially in municipalities. People live near one another, they feel what's happening, and they organize. But it's a complex process to really democratize a city. We talked a little bit about Burlington and how it happened in response to Bernie Sanders pushing him to change policies in all sorts of ways as the neighborhoods rebelled. How do you keep it all going? What is the relationship do you see between electoral politics and official Burlington or official Barcelona or official Seattle and the neighborhood movements? How they come together in a place like Barcelona, of course, it was very interesting because it was a number of movements. First, just anti-eviction and trying to protect the city against gentrification. Then came the great crisis, the economic crisis in Spain, and it became a jobs and employment movement. Then it became a political movement and elected the mayor. How do you see that all occurring, the relationship between the local and the city officials and the movements that began around single issues?
Yeah, I think Barcelona is an incredible example because it's one where a political alliance that was really rooted in neighborhoods and rooted in issue-oriented work that wasn't initially really set up to be a political party, but rather an expression of neighborhood-based and citywide grassroots institutions really found its way to taking power in the mayor's office. And in many ways, that mirrors, in some ways more closely than any other example I can think of, a strategy that Murray Bookchin in his work started to lay out back in the 1980s and 90s. And what he proposed was a complete rethinking of politics, kind of really going back to the original ancient Greek notion of politics as the self-management of the polis being the city, through directly democratic popular assemblies that would then confederate among themselves in order to challenge centralized power in the form of both corporations and the state. And he laid out a strategy whereby people with a very consciously directly democratic agenda would develop a detailed program, organize their neighborhoods, develop popular assemblies, and then contest for power at the municipal level in order to institute a system where, as I suggested earlier, it was part of our vision for Burlington, city councilors would be directly accountable to neighborhood assemblies that would be the real decision-making bodies. People meeting citywide would be serving as accountable and recallable delegates rather than as representatives able to really vote based on their own inclinations and their own political connections rather than those of the people they're representing, and really work toward a dual power situation where grassroots institutions are really contesting for power, partly using the electoral system. And Bookchin was very much inspired in those days by the successes of the German Greens in their early years, which was much more of a movement-based institution than it eventually became when it started entering into political alliances with the Social Democrats and
right.
really
Brian,
up
Brian, we only have a minute and a half left. It doesn't, though, it's not completely spontaneous. It arises out of people's needs, but then to really become institutionalized, but to become, to survive, to be real active, living organizations, it seems to me there has to be lot incentives for people really to get involved and to actually make decisions and to have those decisions stick, particularly about resources. And I think, Brian, why don't you give a talk about that, and then discuss finally the ISE conference in San Francisco.
Yeah,
and we'll have to talk about this more.
To some resources, collection of Murray Bookchin's political writings from the 1990s that recently came out called The Next Revolution, some brilliant work done by people really originally coming out of the black nationalist milieu in Jackson, Mississippi. On their website, there's some terrific stuff about strategy around genuinely translating popular assemblies into institutions of political power, and then many links on the social ecology website, social-ecology.org. And as Bill mentioned, we're doing a six-day class, an intensive seminar in social ecology where we'll really get deeply into both the theoretical background and exploration of working models on the ground around these precise kinds of themes. And you can find the information on our website. It's the 10th to the 15th of June at the California Institute for Integral Studies in San Francisco.
Right. Brian, thanks. The Institute for Social Ecology, if you go to their website, you'll find out about the conference and other stuff. Brian, we'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Always great to talk to you,
right,
Bill.
Thanks for talking to us today.
Yeah.